Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
Purple Daily is daily Vikings entertainment. We just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die.
I will ride with this group.
Seriously, man. Please.
And away we go.
And welcome into Purple Access. It is Judd. It is Tyler Fornes. Of course, you can find his work various places, including Vikings Wire, which is also the writing home of the Sports Dad here, but Tyler updating that website constantly. A ton going on, obviously, with the Vikings, and it's literally your one-stop shopping for Vikings news. And then producer Ross Brendel, who is kind enough each and every week to run this show, which we alternate ordinarily between Tyler and Chip Scoggins of the Star Tribune. And Forno, plenty to get to. Busy week, so let's go right to what's happening at the Combine. And yes, the Combine is a lot about the draft and a lot about scouting players and getting a look at players. We know that. But it's also become sort of a clearinghouse for information, hearing from GMs, hearing from coaches, hearing what's going on through the grapevine. I want to start on this one, and I actually did a column about this that is up at Vikings Wire today, but I want to start with your thoughts about what Kwesi Adofo-Mensah and Kevin O'Connell talked about on Tuesday at the podium regarding the contractual situations of various players. Let's start with Kirk Cousins. In your opinion, because I do think that what they said allows us to shape some more informed opinions. In your opinion, where do things stand right now with free agency, or at least the legal tampering period approaching on March 11th?
I don't think anything's changed. And I think with the words that have come out of the mouths of Kevin O'Connell, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, and the players, they haven't told us that anything has changed. And here's kind of what I mean. They have said from the beginning they want Kirk Cousins back. They've said how much they love Kirk Cousins, the person, Kirk Cousins, the player. But at the end of every time he talks about it, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah said, we have to find a way to come to an agreement. And it's about agreeing to a contract that works for both parties. The Vikings, yeah, from me reading between the lines, have kind of drawn a line in the sand. This is what we're going to offer. This is what we can give you. And if that's not something that you want to do, then by all means, it's your prerogative to go test the free agent market. And I think that's what Kirk is going to end up doing. Kevin O'Connell alluded to that, talking with Mike Florio and Chris Sims on Pro Football Talk on Wednesday morning. Look, I get it. At the end of the day, we have to look at things from a multi-tiered perspective with Kirk Cousins. He did play at a borderline MVP level last year. He played his best football of his career at the age of 35, and he's coming off of a torn Achilles going into his age 36 season, and that could rob him of a lot more than you think, because you generate a lot of arm strength from your base. Achilles injuries can be debilitating for athletes. Not debilitating as in they'll never walk again, but debilitating in they'll never gain that explosion, that same athleticism. And when you look at a guy like Kirk Cousins, who is has very good physique, but he's not a hyper athlete. So how is that going to impact him? We don't know. And having that information be such a big variable makes this so much harder. The Vikings already weren't willing to guarantee anything in 2025. Why would they do it more now? And to me, nothing has changed. I think it's the exact same situation. But I say Pittsburgh not seeming to want to be interested in a quarterback, a veteran one, and Atlanta seemingly going to be trading for Justin Fields. There's a lot smaller market for Kirk Cousins than there was I don't know, 2 weeks ago.
And it feels like, and I phrased it this way with Phil and Declan this week on Purple Daily, it feels like the Vikings and Cousins camp in some ways are playing a game of chicken.
Yep.
And the Cousins camp, and look, they should. They're exploring their options. Now, theoretically, technically, the legal tampering period starts March 11th. But we all know that the tampering period starts at the combine, which it should. It feels like the Vikings, you know, I'm buying what they're selling, especially O'Connell. O'Connell sounds like he sincerely, and I don't think he's a great liar, sincerely wants Kirk back. Kwesi, I agree with you. I think he wants him back, but at the right price point. But I also think that this week passed now at the combine, incredibly important, because I think it's going to allow the Cousins camp to come to the conclusions that if you're right, okay, the market's not what we thought. So we might have to bend. Mm-hmm. Or the Vikings say, we'll bend a bit too. So I do think that the clarity to me that I find to be the most interesting is, you know, I really thought that the Vikings might try to take a quarterback here, sign a bridge guy, and then move from there. Feels to me more now than ever like if they have their druthers, they would like Cousins back at the right price. Mm-hmm. What I can't tell then, and I'm curious your opinion on this, is do you think they still try to draft a quarterback, or do you think that gets backburnered for another year or more if Cousins returns on, let's say, a two-year contract?
I really don't know. Whatever you think of Jaren Hall, I don't think that they will go that option. The let's draft a guy and see if we can develop him long term, because they have that guy. Agreed. And whether you think that was a good idea or not, specifically with the player that Jaren Hall is and what kind of development that he's shown over the course of his time in Minnesota, that's a whole different discussion. But they have that guy, and he's shown flashes that he can be good. He's also shown flashes that he might be bad, but he was also a rookie in the NFL, and it's hard to be have any form sort of concrete thoughts. So I don't think they're going to go that route. They could potentially go a mid-round guy. I still think Spencer Rattler has a lot of intrigue because he's got that just wild arm, and he played basically with Judd, with you and Ross as his offensive line last year. It was really, really bad.
It hurt. So, I still hurt.
Yeah, Judd hurts, and he wasn't even on the field. That's how bad it was.
Well, I hurt just watching sports now, but I'm 54. I digress.
So it's – they could maybe do that. I would probably say no and just be like, all right, we have Kirk Cousins. If you can't get a guy in the first round, we're just going to have to build around the idea of having a future quarterback, which they've already been doing. One of the questions, if I was in Indy, that I would have wanted to ask was, how much did the Jordan Addison pick last year impact your future plans as far as drafting a quarterback to try and really build that base around him to give him a better opportunity to succeed, which I think the Vikings, with a rookie quarterback, have one of the best foundational bases for a rookie quarterback to be successful right away because of Jefferson, Addison, Darisaw O'Neal, Kevin O'Connell. I think he's a tremendous play caller. I know there are people who disagree, but I think their issue is more execution than the play calls themselves. And I think the All-22 will bear that out. And then you have a defense that was top 15 in scoring defense. That's pretty good for a rookie to come into. But it's all going to depend on what happens in front of them. Are Washington and New England going to be sold on these guys enough where they're going to take them? But they can also be like, all right, let's get the farm because we're far enough away where we need to really build up the rest of the roster. And Washington has, like, I think, 5 or 6 picks in the top 75. Yeah. Maybe they want to make it 7 or 8, and then they can really build out a true foundation and then get a guy next year. So there's so many variables to really be able to answer that question. I think if they can have a realistic trade up to go get a J.J. McCarthy or whoever falls between Drake May and Jaden Daniels, which is not out of the question, I think it's unlikely, but it's not a 0% chance where, hey, maybe you move up to 7. And you give up a first next year to go get your guy. You have Kirk Cousins here. I think that's fine. It's not a perfect scenario, but do you really want to go into this draft process with a massive question mark whether you can get a quarterback? And if you don't, it's Sam Darnold or Nick Mullins. That's not a great spot to be in either. So I think it's still likely they could try, but so much of it is up in the air, Judd, because we just don't know how things are going to shape out. And that's the difficult part.
Roscoe, your thoughts on this? Jump in.
You know, it's funny. You mentioned Spencer Rattler. And by the way, that's what we like to call foreshadowing. We're going to get back to him in comments from YouTube. I feel like I'm beating the proverbial dead horse on this. And you guys have heard me talk about this numerous times, even on other Purple Daily podcasts or Score North podcasts. Independent of Kirk Cousins coming back or not, I think this is the jumping off point where you have to get your quarterback of the future and feel like you have your exit plan in place. You could say you could do that next year, but the reality is right now, we only know who's available to us right now. We don't know who's going to be available next year, and you don't know where the Vikings are going to be picking. If they have a nice season, heck, they could be picking somewhere between 20 and, fingers crossed, 32. That's a bit of a joke, but this just feels like the moment where you have to make that play for your quarterback, and nothing is going to make me change that, whether Kirk Cousins is back or not. But boys, I will tell you this, if Kirk Cousins is back, I am prepared to be disappointed on draft night, because I do believe if Kirk Cousins is back, the only way they would entertain maybe taking a quarterback would be if they traded back into the first round and got somebody late in the first round, which I would also be okay with. I'm just not sure if they have quite the capital to do that when there are so many other needs on the roster.
So let me counter that, because Ross, I don't think you're wrong. I think you're right. If you identify a guy, you have to go get him. There's also a problem in there. That's the ultimate variable. What if nobody wants to trade with you? And the Vikings ran into that issue last year when they tried to go get Anthony Richardson at third overall. Yeah, Pelissero said after the draft they were trying to go get Bryce Young. That's the only guy they wanted. Well, to me, that's saving face, because the worst kept secret was the Vikings were really aggressive trying to go get Richardson. Heard it from multiple sources. People I talked to, their sources were telling them the same thing. It was widespread. So when you kind of look at the whole encompassing situation, if quarterbacks go four of the top five picks, JJ McCarthy's gone by five. What if the Chargers don't want to go down to 11 because the Giants give them a second round pick to move up one spot to go get him? That's the variable that I don't think enough people are talking about, because it's not just, hey, Kwesi, if he sees something, he's going to go want to go get it, and he's going to go be aggressive in doing so. Somebody has to tell you yes, and you can't control that. There is nothing you can do to control it. And if all those guys are gone, are you taking Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr. at 11? No. Are you taking them at 42? Maybe. I wouldn't take Bo Nix in round five. Like, I have a fourth round grade on him. I just don't want nothing to do with him, because I think he's a developmental guy and we already have that. So looking at all those different factors, you're waiting on somebody else to give you the green light versus you having everything under your control. If those guys are gone and you force it, you're risking another Christian Ponder pick. And yeah, it's the easiest crutch to go to. Oh, it's just another Christian Ponder. Christian Ponder was a forced quarterback pick because they needed one, not because they believed he was the guy. They needed one, so they took one. That is the worst habit you can get into as a general manager in the draft. You take talent in the draft. Free agency is to fix problems. If you like, if the Vikings took a wide receiver, and let's say Romo Dunze at 11, they don't need one. But guess what? Maybe he's the best player on the board, and you just figure it out. So it's a very complicated situation there, Ross. Theoretically, you're right. Practically, it's way more complicated.
Yeah, and I do 100% agree with you. You don't just take one to take one. You identify the guy you want the most, and probably guys you could, I hate to even phrase it this way, but guys you could live with, guys you also think fit what you're trying to do. And then, yes, to your point, I guess what I'm saying, Tyler, is if you think you're going to get him at 11, or if the draft shakes out, if the guy's going to be there at 11, you take him. If you think you need to move up, well, then you have to make the offer so enticing the team says yes and doesn't tell you no. That's just where I'm at, because Kirk Cousins isn't going to play forever. Even if he comes back, it's going to be a short-term deal, not necessarily a prove-it deal, but it doesn't solve your problem long-term. It just solves it in the immediate, and I just don't think you can keep doing that year after year after year.
So I think part of the problem here, guys, is I think we get somewhat conflicted and confused by this. You got the Kirk Cousins path, right? Mm-hmm. And then you got the quarterback path. But the quarterback path doesn't have to be a draft pick right now. Like, I guess my question, if I could ask the Vikings and get a truthful response, is this: where are you at right now? Like, in your opinion, as a franchise, as a team, where mm-hmm. are you at? Because there are, you know, if you try to move up and if Kirk walks, I mean, and let's just say that there's one team that says, Kirk, 3 years, fully guaranteed or close to that. And the Vikings are like, we cannot do that. And then the Vikings can't trade up. I don't think that you could say, my God, we can't trade up, so we have to sign Kirk again. So there are bridge guys. There are ways. Like, unless you say Kirk Cousins is going to take us to a 2024 Super Bowl title, there are ways to get around this. Because, Tyler, I'm with you completely. The problem with Ponder, and this was true of that entire first round, not just the Vikings. Yeah. How many teams took quarterbacks because they were hyperventilating? You know, Jake Locker went into that. That's at the end of the season, as I recall, in college, he was considered potentially the number one pick, or certainly at the beginning of the college year that year. He fell drastically, and I think it was the Titans were like, my God, I think we're at 8. We got to take him. So the one thing I don't think that you can think of this is, okay, Cousins is gone. Now we have to draft his replacement right now, no matter what, because you're setting yourself up for disappointment. I think what you need to do here, Tyler, is you need to keep this on two different grids. And if they intersect, awesome. That works out really well. But if they don't, I don't think that you can hitch your wagon to Cousins just because the unknown scares you too much. So, like, I think this goes deeper than the observation of, well, if Cousins is gone, you got to draft one. That's ideal. But it doesn't mean that you should, to your point, force it.
Yeah, it's
a great conversation.
It is, because it's never just going to be as simple as, oh, you just got to take one, because there's so many other variables with other teams and other selections. And you never know when, and I'll say this until the day I die, you never know when somebody's going to have another gas mask bong. You never know when something wild can happen. That's
got to ignore that, Tyler. Things. I keep telling you that.
You never know when something big is going to happen. That's just going to change everything. So it's a very complicated question. And I think, to your point, Judd, about all the conversations they're having in Indianapolis, we may have a resolution with Kirk Cousins by like next Wednesday, because, hey, they're going to have all the information they need. Mike McCartney's going to have talked enough to other teams and kind of gauge the value of what the offers are going to be on the table for Kirk. And then they can go back to the Vikings, because I think Kirk does want to stay, but he's a businessman. He understands that he might not be able to.
Exactly. So if they do keep Kirk, question for you, especially as we glean more information from the combine. If they keep Kirk, do you think they stay at 11, and do you think that they go edge? Because at that point in time, you're in pretty good shape offensively. It sure sounded to me, from what Kwesi said at the podium on Tuesday, like Daniil is going to walk. Like, I think he's going to get a massive contract. He deserves that, but he's going to be 30 in October. Kwesi sure didn't sound like he was invested in, I gotta try and keep this guy. Do you think that they then go edge, and how high are you on those top three edge guys that could be around when they draft?
Oh, this is a fun conversation, because of those top three edge guys that you speak of, they're all behind Penn State's Chop Robinson. I love what Chop brings to the table, and one of the big detractions that people are going to talk about are his inconsistent use of functional strength, and he does need to bulk that up a little bit. And his play in the run game isn't fantastic, but he flashes effort. You can't teach effort. You also can't teach his elite first step, which is truly rare and special to help him bend around the edge. Okay. But he can blow up plays in somewhat unconventional ways by using that elite first step and being able to penetrate through holes. There's a play against Illinois where they're running GT counter. So GT counter is just a counter play, but the guard and the tackle pull. Those letters before counter tell you who the pullers are. So those pullers aren't even able to get to their spot because Chop Robinson blows them up, and then the play gets blown up from the front side. So those are things he can do, and that elite first step around the edge. Chop Robinson's fourth on my board, and I will probably be the highest in the industry on him, and I'm okay with that. You have Dallas Turner, Laiatu, who told reporters yesterday that the neck he had to medically retire for, teams don't have an issue with it. We'll find out more in the coming weeks, because they're going to have the full medical workup of him at the combine. So that may change. So just be aware of that. And then Jared Verse. Verse, I don't see as having this great upside. I think he's a plug and play, and I think there's a baseline. But I don't think for a guy you take at 11, I don't see it, because I don't think he's ever going to be that, like, hey, this guy could be a 15 sack a year guy. And that's the type of guy you would upside. You'd want to take at 11. I think Verse is like a 10 sack a year guy, which is very good. Mm-hmm. But that's a guy you take more in the 20s, because the upside's not there, because I think he's more of a finished product. Dallas Turner, I just think, is way too inconsistent. And while the flashes are great, I don't have any confidence that he's going to fully put it together. So I have a second round grade on him. But he does have a ceiling where it's like, okay, this guy's like a top five, top 10 pass rusher. But I'm not convinced he gets there. If you want to take an edge, I think it's a smart move. I also think you could trade down six-ish spots and still get one of those top four with relative ease. It all depends on what they want to do and how they approach edge rusher and free agency. Because let's say you lose Daniil, and then you bring back Marcus Davenport. You could sign a couple other guys. Somebody like Shaq Barrett on like a 1 or 2 year deal might make a lot of sense, because he could be on a discount. He's had 20 sacks in a year before. The guy can play. So maybe that's a route they want to go. Free agency is just going to tell us so much about how they approach things. But I don't think a trade down is a bad idea. But those picks need to come on day two, not day three. Day three, right, compared to most years, sucks. Why? Half of the normal amount of underclassmen declared this year. Like 53 underclassmen. Usually it's around 110. Or sometimes a little more, sometimes a little less. But that's due to NIL. It's due to COVID eligibility. So, like, I'm staying away from day three if I can.
Wow. Interesting. All right, Roscoe, let's go to comments from YouTube. I think there might be a Spencer Rattler question in here.
This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts, or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
You commented, we read it.
Is this a ransom note?
Now we're talking about it. It's Purple Access's comments from YouTube.
Well, let's just start with that Spencer Rattler question. Sane Grimes from the last pod we all did together on Drake May potentially sliding in the draft a few weeks back. The comment is, someone is going to have the guts to draft Spencer Rattler, and it will change their franchise for the better. My question, I think we already have a bit of Tyler's response here. Thoughts on South Carolina's Spencer Rattler to the Minnesota Vikings at any point in the draft? Tyler, why don't you go first and then pass it off to Judd? You were high on him just moments ago.
So Rattler's a very fascinating evaluation, and I actually have him ranked above Bo Nix. He is my quarterback seven, it's my quarterback seven because I have Pratt above him. It's not about talent with Rattler. Rattler's arm talent is comparable to guys like Mahomes, Josh Allen. It's in that kind of S tier, and that's never been a question about his game. It's always been about the other things. 2020 at Oklahoma, he was lights out. He was a Heisman Trophy contender, and he was an early favorite to go first overall in 2022. That 2021 season at Oklahoma, something happened. Like, it was almost like a switch got dimmed, and all of a sudden he was just making uncharacteristic mistakes. He wasn't seeing the field really well. He wasn't making great decisions. And then his confidence went, just dropped like a bucket, and the whole university seemed to turn on him. He got benched for Caleb Williams. He decides to transfer. And then Lincoln Riley and Caleb Williams bail Oklahoma to go to USC. So he goes to South Carolina, where they don't have a great infrastructure on the offensive line. They have goodish weapons, but nowhere near what he was used to at Oklahoma, which is fine. You're a quarterback. You have to adapt to your surroundings. And I thought he grew a lot over the last 2 years. But the real question was always going to be, is he ever going to get back to that guy that we thought could go first overall? And we don't have that answer, because he had to change so much of his game to make it work at South Carolina because he had to do so much. He had to deal with so much quick pressure where he wasn't able to go through progressions and really attack down the field. That average depth of target the past 3 years, it's like 7.5, 7.6, 7.8 in some capacity. His first year as a starter at Oklahoma, it was like 10.8. That's a significant drop off, but you also have to contextualize it. It's not because he didn't want to attack down the field. He couldn't. So are you going to be able to extract all the good and be able to fix some of the processing issues, some of the panicking in the pocket because he would just get absolutely obliterated half the time? Those are really big question marks that he's going to have to answer. And I don't know if you're going to be able to kind of get him away from that stuff because of what he's dealt with in college. He's also 23 years old, which makes it a little bit more difficult. If he's 20 or 21, it's a lot easier to coach some of that stuff out of him. But the arm talent is insane. He can make throws that'll just make your jaw drop, but it's the other stuff that mars the evaluation with him. I don't know if I would want him to truly be my franchise guy, but if you want to draft a Kellen Mond-esque type, a guy you're going to sit on the bench, be your backup, hey, maybe I can develop this guy, and in a year or two, he could maybe be my starter. I think that's a fair evaluation of him, but I'm not super convinced that he's going to work out or not work out either way because of all the things I mentioned.
I can't top that. That's an outstanding scouting report, and you scared me away.
Well done,
Porto. I'm too scared now.
Well done. The theme of the comments from YouTube today are staying pretty much all quarterback related in one shape or another. Charles Richards, 831 from Purple Daily's February 28th episode on the hiring of Josh McCown. This 100% signals to me that the Vikings are, in fact, looking to draft a quarterback of the future in the 2024 draft, and I couldn't be more excited. The question, should Charles and others be excited about Josh McCown and potentially drafting a quarterback? That's a bit of a two-parter. John, why don't you go first?
Well, first of all, I think that the McCown hire is really intriguing, but here's the most important thing. I don't know why yet. Like, there's a relationship with Drake May there, but obviously you need to trade up a lot to get Drake May. It's the first time in a long time that the Vikings are actually going to put a former quarterback with like quarterback street cred from this league in that room. So does that mean that there is concern about Kirk being gone and Josh is going to basically play the veteran role while not playing? Or does it mean that Kirk is coming back, but they're going to have a young quarterback behind Kirk, and Kirk always likes to have a veteran guy, right? Like, he loved Mannion. Mannion was his best pal because now he's going to the Packers, Tyler, as a coach, but he was his best pal because he was no threat to replace him. But what he was a sounding board. I think Mullins served as a sounding board. So I'm just excited about the entire offseason because I think it's really going to shape this franchise going forward. And I think it's probably going to be the most important offseason of Kwesi and O'Connell's careers here. The McCown thing, I'm really intrigued by, Forno, but I don't know exactly what it means. I do think it means something.
I don't think it means anything. And okay. I'm not doing this to be contrarian or anything. I think the only thing that we can really gather from this is it's a two-parter. One, O'Connell likes to bring in people that he's worked with before, and Josh McCown was a quarterback on the Browns when Kevin O'Connell was a quarterback's coach for the first time in 2015. So there's a rapport there. Hmm? Two, McCown seems to be a hotshot kind of head coaching candidate in the future. So remember, when the Texans hired David Culley, they wanted to hire Josh McCown, and they kind of got bullied out of it. So McCown is very well thought of among players and among in coaching circles. So I think that's why he got hired. And that I think also think because of what experience he has, having bounced around from team to team, learned from so many different people, started a multitude of games in the National Football League. I think that gives you a lot of information to be able to help somebody who's going to develop in that room. I think that's great. I don't think it means anything that he worked with Drake May. I don't think it means anything that he shares an agent with Kirk Cousins. I just think that they hired him because they think he's a damn good football coach and a potential to be a head coach and somebody that Kevin O'Connell already knows and trusts. That's why Brian Flores was the top target for defensive coordinator. It's why they brought in Wes Phillips and Matt Daniels to run those other coordinator positions. coaches like to bring in people that they know, that they can trust to do the things that they want them to do. So to me, I'm not reading anything into it more than that. I think you should still be excited about drafting a quarterback. I just don't think the hiring of Josh McCown signals any of that.
All right.
Percent chance he starts by week one? Nah, I'm just kidding.
You can't do that. Yeah, I don't think you can go from coach to player.
No, and I think I actually looked this up. He has to unretire, and he can do it for a different team, I think. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. I looked this up a while back.
The question
back.
Is, did he send his retirement papers in?
Are they in? Yeah.
Because a lot of guys don't do that. Brett Favre, I think, waited until like 2012 to mail them in or fax them in at the time.
When did Brett Favre go into the Hall of Fame? Because the second you send in the retirement papers, that's when your clock starts ticking to get into the Hall of Fame.
Well, he was first ballot, so he must have sent him in at some point in 2011. Mm-hmm. Because it should have been 10. Yeah.
Relatively recently, there was a former Vikings linebacker who never turned in his papers. And after like 4.5 years, Seattle called him up because they were a player short and he was in the area and he dressed. This is probably within like the last 5 years. Do you remember who that is?
Mm-mm.
I'll look it up. I want to say it was Vinny Churchu, but it wasn't.
It might have been.
It was somebody else. Literally had sat out for like 4 years and then got the call. Hey, we need somebody.
Homie got a $100,000 payday. Good for him.
Good for him. Yep. Oh, good absolutely. For him. Jay Christian Larson. This is the final one. Jay Christian Larson, 857 from Purple Daily, discussing if the Vikings have interest in Russell Wilson. Comment. Love the show. While I'm sick with COVID-19 right now, the idea of Russell as the quarterback for the Vikings for more than 1 year makes me more nauseous. The question on that, does the thought of Russell Wilson in purple make you guys sick? Tyler, why don't you go first?
Oh, Kevin O'Connell want to pull the little hair he has on his head out of it because Russell Wilson refuses to throw over the middle of the field. And what does Kevin like to do? Digs, overs, choice routes, all over the middle of the field. How is Russell Wilson going to be able to throw any of those passes when he refuses to do so? Even to wide open receivers. Like, this is one of the worst kept secrets in football. He hates throwing over the middle. And a lot of college quarterbacks right now don't like throwing over the middle either. But that's because the air raid has designed things to really go towards the outside, get outside the numbers, and hit a lot of those timing routes. So some of that is due to how the college game is evolving. But with Russell Wilson, like, the appeal with Wilson is if he really wants to stick it to the Broncos with offset language, he can just sign a minimum deal and the Broncos have to pay the rest of that salary.
He will.
And then he could help out the team that he's going to for the first year and be like, okay, build a team around me. Let's see what we can do. But with how O'Connell likes to operate this offense and how Wilson refuses to throw over the middle, it's a match made in hell. I'm completely out on it. The general idea, I think, is good in a vacuum, but not with Russell Wilson.
I think there's so many reasons why the Vikings wouldn't even consider this. You just talked about a large portion of them on the field. I think the more we've seen from Russ, there's a little bit of a locker room lawyer as well. I mean, the Vikings locker room right now is a pretty damn good place. It's a lot of kumbaya. I think Russ disturbs that a bit. Yeah, I don't think Gardner Minshew would start at quarterback, in my opinion, for the Vikings before Russ. Complete non-starter. I don't know where he lands, but I think Forno's exactly right. He is going to land in a place where he is going to sign for the minimum and stick the Broncos for every last penny.
The alliteration to Minnesota Minshew Mania, Minneapolis Minshew Mania. I just like how that sounds. We'll see where that goes.
Yeah, it's going to be Kirk, I think.
Should we do some extra points?
Yeah, let's get to it.
Let's do it.
These extra points never miss. It's Purple Access's extra points.
I'd say we have Tyler Fornes go first. What's your extra point today?
Listen, if the Vikings are really smart, they're going to re-sign Marcus Davenport before his contract voids. And let me kind of walk through why. Everybody has every right to be frustrated. they have every right to be frustrated about how last season went with the two high ankle sprains. But what you can't argue is when he was on the field, he was very good and very impactful. So if you can bring him back on a respectable deal, you can actually save money on the salary cap this year. So not only are you going to add depth to what this defensive line and edge room really needs, you're going to save money on the cap. So here's how that works. He has 4 void years left on his contract, all at $1.7 million. If he signs an extension, this is the key verbiage. He has to sign a new contract before his contract voids at 3 p.m. on March 13th. It's also the same void date as Kirk Cousins and Danielle Hunter. So if you sign a 1-year, $5 million contract, which, look, on a prove-it type deal, considering how last year went, not unreasonable, okay? You save $100,000 on the cap, and you fill a massive hole on your roster. So I think it's worth an opportunity. 2 high ankle sprains in the same year is just wild to consider. And I think that it would be a really smart play. The only reason why they would extend that void date is because they are thinking about bringing him back and they would like to in some capacity. Otherwise, there's really no point for the Vikings to do that. They want to maintain maximum flexibility. And saving money in this year's cap while having a guy who could be a high-end impact player in your pass rush, to me, that sounds like a no-brainer, even if it does come with some injury risk.
The only thing I'll say is this. I think there were definitely some questions in the building about the fact he didn't come back. So, like, he had some unfortunate luck. But I think that they thought, okay, you could come back at some point in time, and he didn't. So, like, if this does not work, that would be why. But I get your point. And, yes, he should come back for peanuts. Like, this past year was a prove-it contract. Like, okay, dude, we're going to give you this chance. And he didn't. So if you got a good season from him where he actually played, he could, and this is probably his last chance to get himself a big contract, probably elsewhere. So it makes some sense, although I still do fear that you're not, that you're a little feverish right now talking about Marcus Davenport. Just a little bit. Mine is this. The Vikings, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah on Tuesday especially, but the Vikings made it abundantly clear how they feel about Justin Jefferson. And like we could have talked, and look, the Kwesi has flat out said their camp, and it's also the Vikings asked us not to talk about this, so we don't. And I don't blame anybody who speculates, because when a team goes quiet, they leave you no choice. But when Kwesi talked on Tuesday, he left, in my opinion, and I've been doing this a long time and we've all been lied to a lot, but he left, in my opinion, no doubt that this team is going to give Jefferson the bag. They gave Jefferson, you talk about public leverage, you guys. I mean, he basically came out and said he's the best receiver in the league and deserves to be paid like it. We think he's probably the best non-quarterback in the league and deserves to be paid like it. Whatever the hangup is, they better work through, because I don't know that I've ever seen an executive say that much, which in my opinion, if he does get traded or this does not work, like, Kwesi's credibility is shot. So I think that removed any question. And if you don't think wide receivers should be paid and you're a Vikings fan, change allegiances right now, because this kid is going to get paid. Like, I have no doubt about that. Kirk might be gone. I think Daniil's gone. I think a lot of questions unanswered. But when your GM gets up there, this to me was a step about 3 to 4 notches above. We have no intention of trading Percy Harvin. This to me was, he's coming back, and he's coming back at his price. And the Vikings sound like they want to get that done now. The Jefferson camp, I don't know if they want to see CeeDee Lamb's contract. I don't know what the incentive is, but it sounds like they're the ones, according to Kwesi, dragging their feet. But I now have no doubt that Justin Jefferson is going to break the bank, and he might, by the end of this, be given the entire city of Eagan, not just the facility, from what the Vikings said on Tuesday.
So I want to follow up with this, Judd. I personally don't think that they gave Jefferson any leverage at all, and kind of let me explain why. I think they've already agreed on the money. I think they've already agreed on a good amount of the structure. I think it's just minute details. And Kwesi coming out and saying that is just more of an olive branch to the Jefferson camp. Like, hey, we're serious. We love you. And we are going to do everything we can to get this done. Because I don't think that Kwesi is such a brilliant mind. And he's so particular with his verbiage and how he words things to come out that aggressive tells me that this contract deal extension is so deep as far as how far they are in trying to complete it. And we already kind of know this in general because they almost completed it September 9th. They were this close. So to, I think it's just a, hey, we love you. We're not going to even think about trading you. And we want to get this done ASAP. It's more of a signal to them than anything. And I think the leverage thing is overblown, but I also get it because that's really strong from a general manager.
And the cap went up. That's where I think it changed. Now,
I don't think that matters at all, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, it does. Why not?
I think he's going to get the same amount of money no matter what.
Well, but he now stands with a cap to get more, and he's going to get so there. But there are definitely some devils in the details that the Vikings or someone didn't like. He's going to get those now, and I don't credit him with being a genius. He is. He's not the greatest at the podium. He tries to say nothing, and actually, when he gets passionate, he screws up. So I think he did. His sit down with I think it was Jory Epstein, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Of USA Today, in I think approximately May after the year he got hired, drove him to basically say nothing. He said something here, and I'm not so sure he didn't say. Now, I think it was agreed to what he would say, but they gave away something there. You don't say that unless you are prepared to give the player everything he wants. So I'm just saying the Vikings have, I don't care what they don't like, they're going to have to give it now. I question Kwesi a little bit. I'm not willing to anoint him genius yet. I think he's very smart in some ways, but being smart on Wall Street and the background on football doesn't make you savvy. And I think he lacks some of that so far. Roscoe?
Well, I'm going off the board like I typically do, boys. So I'm going to walk you all around. First, I'm going to give random kudos to Forno. I must have been looking at his big draft board in Madden when I selected fake Chop Robinson fourth overall with the fake Arizona Cardinals. So thank you for that, Tyler. He is a machine in Madden. That first step gets every quarterback, led the league in sacks. Okay, there we go. That was me just talking crap.
Chop Robinson.
Here is your legit extra point. Your Minnesota myth, gentlemen, the schedule's out. Season opener, April 27th at Nashville. Home opener, Target Center, May 5th against the Philadelphia Soul. I believe John Bon Jovi still owns that team or a part of it.
Really?
The myth will compete in the East Division with the Nashville Cats, the Philadelphia Soul, and the Albany Firebirds. It's going to be a lot of rivalries there. The myth, coached by Gophers legend and former Minnesota Fighting Pike legend, Ricky Foggy. They'll split one of their first two games. That's my extra point for you. No knowledge. They only have a few players on the roster.
Who's your quarterback? Do we know yet?
We don't know yet. We don't know yet. It's going to be somebody with a Minnesota tie. They almost all do for the most part, but there we go. Just heads up too. I did check tickets readily available for the home opener.
No.
Readily available.
It looks like
they're only selling the lower bowl at this point, but I'm happy for Ricky Foggy. I'm still a little bit bitter. I think they should have just stuck with the Minnesota Fighting Pike. Don't love the Minnesota myth.
Fighting Pike was a great name. Just to be very clear here. I think we all agree. Great name. All right, gentlemen, thank you much. Purple Access, Tyler Fornes, Ross Brandel, Judd Zolgad. We'll see you next time.